Okay, if you would, up to some word of prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity and privilege we have to come to your house and want to hear your word taught and preached. Lord, I pray that you move and work in the teaching and the preaching and the singing. Lord, I pray that you have your will and way in all this accomplished. Lord, I pray that you touch all those on our prayer list. Lord, you know the great needs, Lord, that they have. Lord, I pray that you move and work on their behalf. Lord, those that are not able to be with us here today, Lord, I pray that you touch them where they're at, strengthen them, encourage them, and use them, Lord, to honor you. Lord, I pray that you use each of us, Lord, as we depart this place in a little way to serve you and honor you and glorify your name, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture this morning comes from Luke chapter number 23 and verse number 33. It starts out, it says, "They will come to the place which is called Calvary. There they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted this raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be king of the Jews, save thyself. And a inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, and saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards for our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. And when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the woman which followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. Now we see over the past few weeks that our lessons have gradually been going through the gospel, leading us up to the point of Easter Sunday, which is next week. And if we were to take it all in context day by day of what this week is, as we go through the Gospels, we see that today referred to as Palm Sunday, we see the lessons that we have had have been prior to our Lord getting the recognition of Him being King. He wasn't prepared to be exalted as King yet. And we see it time and time again throughout the Gospel where there's different accounts given. The Gospels do not contradict. It's the same as a car wreck happening out here on the road, and I see the car wreck, and our pastor would see the car wreck, and as the highway patrol would ask me what happened, and I give my perspective, my point of view, things that would stand out to me in that situation, our pastor would do the same. We're not going to be word for word the same, but all of it adds up to an account that would give an accurate depiction of what's taking place. And that's what the Gospels have done as they've went through, and we see that our Lord has worked the miracles of the physical miracles of where we see that He's touched, He's healed, that He has raised the dead. We see all those things that's taken place. And we see time and time again that the people that followed after Him wanted to exalt Him, that He would always pull back because it was not yet time. But today being the Palm Sunday is when our Lord would ride in. And they would cry out unto Him. We see over in John, in chapter number 12, that they would cry out, Hosanna, and try to exalt Him as King. And we see this is the start of the last week of our Lord being on this earth. It is all about, as we look through His teachings through this last week,
It is about salvation. It is about the concern for souls coming to know Him as Savior and Lord. We see He teaches on the salvation, the humility, and coming unto the Lord and submitting our lives unto Him. But in the midst of everything that our Lord is dealing with, we see that He is God incarnate down here in this walk of life. But we also know that He is as much man as anybody else. He felt pain. I believe He felt dread of the cross, but I believe He went willingly. You say, how do you know? Because the Garden of Gethsemane gives us a picture of the heart of our Lord while He's down here saying, let this cup pass from me. He's just saying, I don't desire the pain that I have to go through. He said, but I will endure all this so that they can come to know You. But we see everything that's going through the heart and mind of our Lord, that time and time again throughout this last week, He comforts His people. So what He's telling us is through salvation, through the cross of Calvary, through everything that's about to take place, you and I have a comforter in Him. No matter what's going on around us in this old world, our Lord is never too busy to set aside time to bring comfort unto His people, as He's done the disciples through here. And we see that that was an important thing for the disciples in what they're fixing to face in our lesson today, the cross of Calvary. We see that there was a lot of confusion around the cross. They followed after Him. They trusted Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They expected Him to have a kingly reign, but they expected it down here. They had not caught on to He was going to go to the cross and He was going to lay down His life for you and I, shed that blood for you and I. I believe Mary was one of the only ones that had caught on to it. If I'm reading and understanding the Gospels right, as she anointed the feet of Jesus, she knew what He was going to have to do in going to the cross of Calvary. And we see, we get to that point of the cross and we see so much confusion around the disciples, but still yet He had the comfort for them. No matter what I face in this life, I'm resting assured today that I have the comfort in the Lord and the help of the Lord, because He's never too busy for my situation because of what He's endured in our lesson. In Luke chapter number 23, in our verses, we see that certain things stand out to, it seems like, certain writers in the Gospels. We see that Luke, his account that we're in today, it's like it stands out the picture of salvation of the malefactor that's on the cross. That's what really pops out to Luke as he gives his account. I like to read John and John's account of what would take place on the cross. So I'm probably going to refer over to it. But we see Luke's focus is on the salvation that took place around the cross of Calvary. We see that it talks about, in verse number 33, it says, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him, the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Now, in our lesson, we don't get the word our pastor talked about last week of Pilate standing up and asking, who would you rather release, Barabbas or Jesus? And they wanted to condemn our Lord. It was all because of the betrayal of Judas that our Lord is put into custody. I believe it was a work behind the scenes by the religious leaders. They did not like when He rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and He was worshipped as King. That threw their whole religious thing upside down. So now they've worked behind the scenes. They've got Him to the place where He's going to have to be crucified on the cross of Calvary. But it's by no accident that all this has worked out. Our Lord has already ordained it. He's already set it all in motion so that there could be atonement for my sin and yours. And that's what the picture of these two malefactors points out in the eyes of Luke. We're going to hit those first, and then I'm going to go back and hit other verses. It tells us that one was crucified on the right, one was crucified on the left. In verse number 39, it says, and one of the malefactors which was hanged railed on Him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself from us. Now, here we get a picture in verse number 39 of one of them hanging on the cross beside our Lord. And he's saying, if you're God, if you're truly what you say that you are, then you can get us off this cross. His concern was not about the righteousness and holiness of Jesus, but His concern was self-preservation. He is a picture of somebody that's saying, if you're the God that will fit inside of this mold that I have created, I will trust in You. He's a picture of this world saying, God, you're something that I'm going to take and pull out when I need You, but I'm not going to trust You as Savior and Lord. You're going to have to prove yourself unto me time and time again when I pull you off the shelf. This is a man that's going to die and go to hell. We see that he is somebody that's never going to trust in Jesus. But what we do see in the midst of it is he had the opportunity. Everybody before the day comes when they're going to stand in judgment will have the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I believe there was a lot of opportunity on the day of the crucifixion. And I see that in the latter verses of our Scripture. But we see one that's saying, Lord, if you fit in this mold, I'll trust in you. And then we see the other hanging on the other side of Christ as he begins to talk. He says, but the other saying, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? Now we see that both of these men were convicted of crime. They were both criminals. They were both being punished for the actions in which they had committed. And both of them, it was just that they'd be on the cross. And that's what this one is called on to here. He is a picture of what you and I should be and what you and I are if we are saved. It says in verse number 41, and we indeed justly we receive our due rewards of our deeds. This man has done nothing amiss. So what this man's saying, as he's rebuking the one that's put down the Lord, as he hung on the cross, our Lord is yet to speak unto either one of them. And he says, he cries out and he says, this is what I should have punishment-wise in my life. And that should ring true in our hearts today. You and I, because of the sin that I have committed, because of the filth in my heart and life, because of the way that I act and conduct myself, I should be the one that's hanging on that cross. I should be the one that's enduring that punishment. I should be the one that's having to suffer. I should be the one that's having to go through all the pain and agony. And he fully realizes that I should stand accountable and I should be judged for all my actions. He said, but this one here, he said, it's perfect that you're right beside us. And he said, he doesn't deserve his cross. He said, that should be on me. He said, but still yet, he's went and he's died on the cross of Calvary for you and I. With the heart that he's had, we see that the opportunity was given. We see that he accepted the Lord on that day. And our Lord would make the statement unto him. He said, as he calls out unto the Lord, he said, remember me when thou comest into the kingdom. Jesus says, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. There is no time in between. He said, when you take your last breath here, he said, because you believed in me. He said, because you trusted in me, because you've seen that I am righteous and holy. Even though our Lord didn't pull him off the cross, our Lord didn't fulfill some things that he might have desired to take place on that day, he still believed in the Lord and the righteousness and holiness of Jesus Christ. He said, because of that, he said, when you take your last breath on this cross, he said, you'll take your next breath over in heaven. And you and I can rest assured of that today because of that cross of Calvary. It, no matter what I face in this life, no matter how it is that I may go one of these days, whether it be quick, whether it be slow, when I take my last breath here, I'll take my first breath on my other side and spend all eternity with Him. But now we get down to the part of the crucifixion. And it talks about in verse number 34, it says, Jesus cries out and it says, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Now I know the story of the cross is familiar to some, but we don't catch everything that's went on. But as you begin to read about the cross and the rest of the Gospels that's not inside of our lesson, you begin to see the pain that was to take place. We see the judgment. We see, first of all, the hurt of the betrayal as Judas betrays our Lord. We see the hurt of the denial as Peter denies our Lord. Then we see the hurt as a people that our Lord had been so gracious to, working miracles in front of, and they had fallen after our Lord as they turned their back on Him, desiring to see Him crucified. And then we see what all would take place around the centurion's soldiers as they would begin to inflict pain and punishment upon our Lord. See, these men were trained so that they could bring you as much pain and as much affliction in life without killing you as possible. And I go to thinking, when I begin to read about how much our Lord was beat, I believe he was punched, his beard was plucked, a crown of thorns driven upon his head, beat with a cat of nine tails. We know that his side was pierced. And I begin to think about that, and I think about something that's been hit by a vehicle going down the road. I can still tell what that animal was, but it's unrecognizable, a lot of things about that animal, because it has been so mutilated. That's how our Lord was as He hung upon the cross of Calvary. He was not somebody that was easy to recognize. His body was beaten and broken. The blood was to pour all over Him. I don't believe there was skin color showing anymore. I believe it was blood stains. I believe it was dried blood from before. Fresh blood from when He's hung on the cross. And He never uttered a word. You think about the nails being driven into the hands of our Lord and into the malefactors. They would take their hands and hold them down and tie them down and drive those spots through and drive it through their hands and their feet. And our Lord, I don't believe there was anybody holding back His hands or putting His feet in the right place, but He went willingly to that cross so that I could come to know Him as Savior and Lord, so that you could accept Him as Savior and Lord, and we don't have to stand in front of the Lord in judgment for our sins one of these days. I begin to think about the sounds that would be around the cross. And you know, I begin to compare in my mind to what it would be in a ball game. You think about a championship basketball game. And the points are so close, it looks like there's no understanding who's going to win the game until the last few seconds. And somebody would come down the court and they would shoot a three and they would seal the deal in the last half a second of the game. And you think about the crowd in the stadium and how they would stand up and cheer and the excitement that was going on. And then you think about those that had just lost and how they would stand up and holler in disappointment. And I believe that's how it was around the cross. It wasn't a quiet time. Instead, you could hear the beating that was taking place of our Lord. And you could hear the cheers of those that was around. I believe it was a loud thing. I believe it was something people was echoing cheers of our Lord having to die on that cross. Every time He was struck and smoked by the soldiers, I believe they would cheer. And they stood around just to see these people hang in agony and die on the cross. I believe there was some that cried out in remorse. I believe there was more cheering took place than anything. And our Lord says in verse number 34, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." You know, I wouldn't have been the one crying out in remorse if I would have been there. You say, why? Because I'm filthy and rotten to the core. I'm a sinner. Nothing good about me. I would have been one of the ones participating and cheering as He was crucified on the cross. If you was honest with yourself, you'd have probably been the same way. But still, yet He says, forgive them. He says, they don't understand. He said, they don't know this is all working out in order for me to save them. They don't understand that this all has to take place in order for them to spend all eternity with me one of these days. I desire to spend eternity with them, so I'm enduring the punishment that they're putting upon me. He said, they don't understand that. He said, but I'm taking it upon me, will I? He said, Father, don't hold it against them. He said, just put it all on me. I'll take it. I'll endure it. I'll bear it all on this cross. It says in verse number 35, and the rulers stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself. You know, and this is a statement that's made two different times here. Those that have mocked him before, as he has risen those from the dead, those that he has healed, and now we hear it twice in the lesson of which we have in Luke, and he's saying, if thou art really God, then you can bring yourself off that cross. And he could have done so easily. He could have called any kind of angel's help that he needed. It could have been a thought. It could have been the flip of a finger. Everything would have been put at ease. This whole world would have been destroyed. He could have been back in heaven in the midst of all of His glory, getting the worship that He so deserved, which you and I would read about in Revelations. That would have been something so easy for our Lord to do, but still yet, He overlooked those petty comments so that He could stay on the cross for me. So that He could stay on the cross for you. So that we could come to know Him as Savior and Lord. They put things over His head, mocking Him, saying, "Thou art King of the Jews." Making sure everybody knew the punishment of which He was convicted of to hang on the cross. And still yet, they didn't know that He was glorifying with what they put up there. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He proved that on the cross of Calvary. As he didn't come off of it, and still yet he hung there for you and I. It says as they mocked him, I'm going to refer over to John right here, as John would have given account of the same situation. And John would talk about some of the cries that our Lord had cried out on the cross of Calvary. Over in John, it talks about as our Lord cries out, I thirst. It is talking about our Lord still being physically a man, but still God as well. And he cries out, body being physically drained. He's crying out, I'm thirst. He's talking about my body needs something to be sustained as I hang upon this cross. And they offer up the vinegar unto our Lord. John would give the account, as Luke would also give the account. It said that after the vinegar was given unto our Lord, he cried out with a loud voice. In verse number 48, John says he cried out, it is finished. And then he gave up the ghost. Ours says he cried out with a loud voice and said, Father, into thine hands I commend my spirit. When we read about when our Lord spoke from the cross, there is a direction in which our Lord speaks. He speaks to the people below him, or he speaks unto a heavenly Father. And then we get down to it is finished. And it is not directed at just one or the other, but that is directed, I believe, to both. And it is telling you and I that is a finished work on the cross of Calvary. That everything is taken care of. That my sin debt is paid. That even though I'm filthy and rotten to the core, and that I should be standing accountable, that one of these days when I give up this last breath down here and take my next breath over there, if I've accepted Him, I'm going to spend all eternity in His presence being able to worship Him because He endured my sin on the cross of Calvary. But not only I don't believe it was just for us, but I believe He's talking to Heavenly Father saying, I have finished the work in which I've come to do. I have taken care of their sin. He said, I've atoned for everything. He said, there is nothing left for them to be judged for if they accept me as Savior and Lord. Now it is a done, finished deal. It's over with. And He says, Father, into thine hands I commend my spirit. He said, there's nothing else left for me down here. It's been taken care of. When all this had taken place, we know that about the darkness that overcomes this whole world. Can you imagine what happens when it comes down into our Lord giving up the ghost? You see, they come around and they broke the legs of the other two malefactors in order for them to watch them suffer and die quick. But when they come to our Lord, He had already given up that spirit. He had already given up His life. Not a bone in His body was broken. They didn't have to kill our Lord. They didn't have to do anything to make Him die, but He laid down His life willingly on the cross. We see as the darkness comes over and the earth begins to shake. You think about it. If there had never been darkness come over this old world before in the daytime, this would be the first time the people stand back saying, I wonder what's going on. The fear that might have been struck into the hearts of men as the sun was shadowed. All this had taken place. Our Lord cried out on the cross as the darkness overcome this whole world, said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You say, why did all that happen? Because God couldn't look upon His Son anymore. Because my sin had been cast upon Him. And God, for the first time, was out of harmony with the Son. And He done that so that I could be in harmony with Him throughout my life and throughout all eternity because of the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. We read about the veil in the temple being rent from top to bottom. Can you imagine as they're getting ready for Passover, wanting to speed things up, wanting to hurry the death of the cross up. As they're there, I don't know who would have been in the temple at that point, but as that veil was rent from top to bottom, bottom to top, men could have torn it. But top to bottom, it's a saying that nobody else could accomplish this feat. And it's a saying when He died on the cross, when He gave up His life on that cross for you and I no longer have to go through any kind of man to communicate with God. But as God has saved my soul, He is my intercessor today. He is the one that has given me throne room rights. No matter what comes my way, He is the one that will help me deal with the problems that arise. He is the one that is closer than any friend or brother can ever be. You say, why? Because of the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary for you and I. All this has taken place. I believe the people that were once shouting and cheering as He was beaten and put on the cross, they're now standing back, I believe, with fear taking place, saying, what have we done? What's happened? In verse number 47, we get a glimpse of this. It says, now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. Right here he's saying, they know they've done something wrong. I believe as he gave up the ghost on the cross of Calvary and laid down his life, I believe there was conviction that fell over those people. I wonder how many people were actually saved on the day that he gave up his life on the cross. We know of one that hung on the cross beside him. But I wonder how many other people, seeing how much of truly he is God, and trusted in him by what had taken place. You see, that's the thing nowadays. The church is not proclaiming what actually happened on the cross. This old world is not seeing a God that laid down his life the way that he truly did and submitting their life unto him. He done it because of the love in his heart. You know, I deserved everything that he went through, but I'm not going to endure any of it. When I take my last breath here, I'm not going to be judged for any sin. I'm not going to be judged for anything I've done wrong. But instead, I'm going to stand before God. And He's going to desire to spend all eternity with me. As I desire to spend all eternity with Him. There's nothing standing in between me and God today because of the blood. He's that ever-present help to me. And I'm resting assured that no matter what tomorrow holds, that I know that He holds tomorrow. He's the one in control in the world in which we live. Because of the cross of Calvary, He is God. All built up to a risen Savior that we're going to see next week. He didn't die and lay in that tomb forever, but He is a risen Savior. Woman. I want to say, I thank God this morning for the cross.
Yes.
My mind can't fathom what He actually went through. But the few things my mind can grasp, it breaks my heart. Knowing that it was for me.
Yeah.
Knowing that if it had just been me, or if it had just been you, He would have still went to the cross and endured every bit of that so that I could come to know Him as Savior and Lord. You say, why? Because He loves me. Because He loves you. You and I need to get back to the reality of what He's done for us and worship and thank Him. That's what's on our heart today. I'll ask Chris if you would dismiss us.